Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1388. The topic is nutrition and the title is Micronutrients and Multivitamin Supplements. So we had a listener send in a question, kind of a little bit of a long kind of paragraph, but I'm going to read through it here in a second. And in a sense, what they were asking about was micronutrients, which are kind of like vitamins and minerals. And then if it's possible to get those through food alone without using supplements. So I wanted to kind of talk through my thoughts through that and what I recommend with my clients and just kind of answer those questions. Cool. So let's read through what they wrote. Said podcast suggestion, are micronutrients important? I know you have close to 350 podcasts just in nutrition alone. Things I have learned from listening to your podcast, eat early, eat often, eat to match. Equals meal timing, calories, protein, meal timing, what matters most, training day, energy expenditure versus rest day expenditure, so calorie cycling, we've talked about that. 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body weight, which equals like protein requirements. One thing that I never really hear you mention is micronutrients. I asked you years ago about red meat being superior to chicken, and that is true. He did ask me that, and that was podcast number 207, so way back when. That was actually March 25th of 2019. Woof. Yes, he's been listening for a long time. Thank you very much. So that was podcast 207. It was a nutrition podcast titled, Is Red Meat Superior for Strength and Muscle Gains? So you can check that out if you want to listen to it. And then, spoiler alert, he continues. He said, you basically said no. Now, I understand that chicken may be a better choice if you're looking for lower calories. I was referring to the micronutrient profile of steak versus chicken. I know the protein amount will be very similar, but let's talk micronutrients. Isn't it better to get your vitamins and minerals from whole food sources versus taking a multivitamin that may or may not actually have the vitamins and minerals listed? The supplement industry isn't regulated by the FDA at all and doesn't have to meet label claims. I eat whole eggs, steak, and a variety of fruits and vegetables in hopes that I'm actually eating my vitamins and minerals instead of relying on a supplement. Your thoughts? Question mark. Then he wrote, side note, I have lost over 100 pounds, maintained my muscle mass and strength just by applying the things I've learned from listening to your podcast daily. I love sharing the podcast with as many people as possible because it has worked wonders in my life. Thank you very much. That's awesome. So I have touched base with this listener a couple times and seen his journey. It's freaking awesome, exciting. I am very, very happy to hear from all the listeners who have used the podcast to make progress in their life and be able to make some big changes. It's really freaking motivating to continue to do this podcast every day. I do find an hour for it, even if it's at like 3 a.m, but I find an hour for it to do it. And part of the motivation for that is from hearing from people and how much of a difference it has made. So I really do appreciate it. So thank you. Okay, so we want to kind of break this down. We want to get into this. And kind of the first thing I would kind of look to think of is defining what are micronutrients. So when we talk about micronutrients, what in the heck am I talking about? It's vitamins and minerals. And I'm going to try to just say this all stuff very quick, very plain. But we're talking about vitamins and minerals. Vitamins are kind of like organic substances produced by animals and plants. So we get those things from eating those things. And then minerals are inorganic elements from rocks, soil, water. We get them from the environment itself, like say sunlight helps us produce vitamin D. And then also from eating animals and plants that ate those things. So if an animal ate a rock and then we eat the animal, we get the minerals from it. So that's what micronutrients are, is vitamins and minerals. Now, are micronutrients important? Hell yeah. Yes. You know, if we have deficiencies in different ways, in different, you know, areas, we can have health effects, so negative health effects. So yes, they absolutely are important. Now, I'll talk more here later on, but they're important. They're not the most important, or they're kind of a blend of what's also important. So they're not the thing you want to focus on only, okay? So are micronutrients important? Yes. That's why I typically recommend a daily multivitamin, which a multivitamin supplement is kind of a misnomer because they usually also have minerals in them as well. So it's a multi-micronutrient supplement. But we traditionally call them multivitamins. It's just, I don't even know if this is outside of an America thing, but it's such an American thing to say. Like the first person who created it, they're like, oh, it's a multivitamin. Well, it has minerals in it too. Yeah. Are you going to change name? No. Very American thing to do. So, multivitamin supplement, which does contain minerals, you can take that. I do recommend that. I take it myself. I have my wife, my mom, take them. My dad doesn't listen to me, but my mom and my wife do. So, they'll take those. My dad does, just to defend him in case he listens in on this one. He does take supplements, but I have everybody I care about take them, because if specific deficiencies do occur, they can cause, you know, issues, health issues. So we want to make sure we have them. Now, we have them, taking them in, like meaning we're taking a supplement for them. Now, if I have a deficiency, I can absolutely increase foods related to that deficiency. That's a great idea. But I also would supplement that deficiency as well. So when we're looking at, should I get my micronutrients from whole foods or supplements? Whole foods are kind of the more natural, quote-unquote, bioavailable way to get micronutrients, but supplements can help because getting a full spectrum of micronutrients in their full doses from food alone is pretty damn tough. We're going to talk about that here in a second. It's very uncommon that people will be able to do it. So that's why the supplements are very helpful. Now, if you don't trust supplements, which is, you know, reasonable because there are some, you know, dishonest people in the world. If you don't trust supplements, I just want to kind of talk through that here in a second first, is it is true that supplements are not regulated by the FDA. So that is a risk, but it's not really a risk for large name brands. So if a company, the only thing they do is sell supplements, and they sell, you know, $1 billion worth of supplements a year, and they've been around for a long time, probably pretty damn good company. So the larger the company, the more recognizable the name, the less likely it is to be kind of mislabeled or not have the appropriate amounts. Now, you can get, like, companies can choose to get certifications if they want to. So even though the FDA doesn't, like, require them, a company can do that themselves, and then that kind of makes them more trustworthy because these certifications and whatnot, they're all independent companies. So the company, like, you know, if I have supplement company Brutal Iron Gym, I don't also own the company that's going to certify the Brutal Iron Gym supplements. If I did, that'd be a pretty damn good racket. But these companies don't. So there's a couple of certifications that you'll see relatively common. There's one called NSF as certification. It's the International Dietary Supplement Certification. There's USP, which is U.S. Pharmacopoeia Dietary Supplement Verification Program. And then you'll also see some that are labeled UL certified and GMP certified. So what those certifications look at are the operations for how the supplement is made. So not only the supplement itself, but they go and look at the actual way in which the supplement is made in the kind of company's building, in the manufacturing plant. They also look at the microbiological quality assessment. So are they giving you a variation of the supplements actually bioavailable? Can our body actually break it down and use it? They even look at kind of dosage amounts. They test for contaminants. They check to see if the expiration dating is correct. So there's a lot of in the label honesty. Are they actually being truthful in the way they say they're trying to market the supplement? So if you see a company, a supplement that has any of those certifications, now again, I'll go through them, is a UL certified, GMP certified, USP certified, and NSF certified. So if it has any of those letters on it, it's a pretty good supplement. Now, two companies that I use very often is Now Foods, N-O-W. My wife uses Now Eve, which is their female multivitamin. I've used Now Adam, which is the male multivitamin in the past. Right now, I use a supplement from Universal Nutrition, which is called their Animal Pack, P-A-K. I use that because it's a powder. It's just easier for me to take than a bunch of pills. I also use their Flex, which is a joint supplement. And both Now and Universal Nutrition have the UL certified and the GMP certification. So they've been tested out the wazoo from independent companies. So they've been verified. Everything's legit. So that's something where if you're concerned about the legitimacy of a supplement, you can look for those certifications. So I've firsthand seen supplements that have the NSF label on them, and a bunch have the UL certified and GMP certified. I can't think of one right now offhand that has the USP, but I'm sure I've probably seen it. But there are companies that have those certifications, and those would be good ones to, if you see that, it's as trustworthy as it's going to get. You know, so if you're eating, you know, organic foods, you have to trust that somebody says it's truly organic. If you're eating grass-fed meat, you have to trust that somebody's, you know, actually saying it's grass-fed. If a supplement company has any of these certifications, it's an equal amount of trust that you're going to put into that, because it is independently tested. It's as good as you're going to get. So even if the FDA were to regulate, you know, supplements, they would do the exact same thing that these certification processes are doing. It's just that supplement companies can choose not to have, like, certifications, choose not to be looked into. So don't choose those ones. If a company doesn't want them to be looked into, they might be hiding something, who knows? Or they just don't want to be found out if they have anything wrong. That's also not good, because they should want to know if they're doing anything wrong. So if supplements were FDA regulated, they would be regulated in the exact same way that these certifications are regulating and kind of certifying and verifying these supplements. So NSF certification, USP certification, UL certified, GMP certified, any of those things on the label, you're good to go. Okay? Now, if we wanted to eat foods alone, no supplements, can we get all of our daily vitamins and minerals? The answer is yes, you can. But what I really urge, and what I get kind of grumpy about sometimes, is what I'm a stickler about, is you have to keep things in perspective. What's most impactful for both health and the way we look and feel is calories. I can tell you firsthand, I've worked with hundreds of people who worry about food quality, and they have their calories and protein and distribution messed up, and they look and feel like crap. So, yeah, their blood work might be great. They have all the vitamins and minerals they need, but they look like crap. They feel like crap, and they want to look better. They want to feel better, and they're like, what the hell's going on? The problem is their calories and protein and aren't controlled and regulated and then distributed correctly throughout the day. So you can get all your vitamins and minerals in, but it sure as hell does not mean that you're going to actually feel good or look good. No, not at all. So calories are most important, protein is most, like, second most important, and then the distribution of those things is then third most important, and then you would look at specific food choices. And you can then look and factor into, okay, what provides me my vitamins and minerals. So you need to get the first three in place first: calories, protein, distribution, and then worry about specific foods. That's often why when I have clients start with me, I suggest they do a supplement for vitamins and minerals, because they're going to need all their attention and efforts to control calories, protein, and distribution when they're starting to kind of pay more attention to their nutritional habits. Now, the next thing we want to look at is, what foods can I eat to get the various vitamins and minerals that I need? Now, I would suggest that you actually Google specific vitamin food sources, specific mineral food sources. So I can rattle them off in a podcast, but I would encourage you, please don't pause the podcast and try to write all this down. You absolutely just Google it and you'll be good. But just to give you a general idea, is like for vitamin B, like for example, there's various types of vitamin B. So B1, you can eat ham, soy milk, watermelon, acorn, squash. Who does that? Squirrels. Vitamin B2, milk, yogurt, cheese, enriched grains and cereals. Vitamin B3, meat, poultry, fish, fortified grains, mushrooms, potatoes. B5, chicken, whole grains, broccoli, avocados, mushrooms again. And then the list goes on and on. I'm not going to go through all of them because there's a bajillion. So you got vitamin B7, B9, B12, you know, bingo. Vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K, and then all the freaking minerals. So way too long for me to listen to podcasts. This would be a horrible format to try to gather this information. So just Google that and you'll get your lists, okay? So the summary of all of that is, you can achieve kind of full whole food support for vitamins and minerals. And you can do so whether you want to eat animals or you don't. So if you're a vegan or vegetarian, you can still do it. I help vegans and vegetarians all the time. I pick on them every now and then because it would be a hell of a lot easier if they would just eat meat to get their protein needs without the carbs and fats coming with them. But I understand 100% why you are do not want to eat meat. Support you 1,000,000%. We'll give you all the information you need to do it. So it can be done whether you want to eat animals or not. But it does require a bit of work. So to do this all properly and make sure that you look and feel the way you want to look and feel while getting in your vitamins and minerals is you would have to figure out your daily calorie and protein needs. You would have to figure out, okay, about how many calories and proteins, grams of protein do I need at each meal? Then for each meal, find a food that provides the protein that you need. And then decide whether you want carbs or fats with that protein. So carbs when you're more active, fats when you're less active. And then find the foods that provide the protein and the carb that you need or the protein and the fat that you need that also then provide a variety, the full spectrum of vitamins and minerals that you would need across all meals of the day. So if you ate fish at every single meal, you might not cover all the minerals that you might need to get from beef or chicken. So you have to kind of spread that out throughout the day. So as you create food options per meal, you want to ensure you cover the full spectrum of variety so each vitamin and mineral is covered. But it's not that simple. As if that was simple. You also have to do it in the volume for each item so that it gives you the full amount of vitamins and minerals needed. So you have to know, okay, if I'm eating 4 ounces of steak, that might give me some of this mineral, but it doesn't give me all of that mineral. Or if I eat, three stalks of broccoli or whatever, what does that give me and does it give me the full amount? So can you do it? Yes, but holy freaking crap, is it hard. I know firsthand because this is why I have a certification, I have a degree and I have a master's in nutrition, and I've helped people do these kind of things to account for various vitamin and mineral deficiencies and needs. It's a huge pain in the ass, and I know what I'm doing, and it's a pain in the ass. So good luck to you if you want to do it. I hope you can, but speaking from firsthand from somebody who knows a lot, it's really freaking hard, really hard. And it's exceptionally hard when you need to also balance calories, protein, and timing. So, and then also, whatever schedule that you think you found, the perfect meals, you're not going to get that every day. Every day we don't get to eat, a certain meal because something in life happens. So there's going to be a ton of times where you make some mistakes and mess up along the way. Does that mean it's not worth trying at all? No, I'm not saying that. Please try it if you want to try it. But it's complicated and it's challenging. So can it be done? Yes. The more realistic answer is it's really freaking hard. So what can we do about that? Well, I would definitely focus first on meeting your calorie and protein needs. Then distribute your calories and proteins throughout the day. Eat carbs when you're more active. Eat fats when you're less active. And then eat a variety of foods. The greater variety of foods you eat, the more likely you are to cover your needs. You're also more likely to go insane at the grocery store because you're buying 5,000 things and half of them are going to go bad. But it can be done. So what I typically see when someone wants to meet all of their micronutrient needs through food is they look and feel like crap because they're missing the most important aspects of calories, protein, and distribution, or they start to run into other issues. So somebody eats, all the variety of meats that they need to hit all their minerals, but their cholesterol's at like 500. So it's challenging to balance literally everything. So that's typically what I see is when somebody's trying to do it all through food to track their, to cover their micronutrients, they're messing up something else. They're messing up calories or protein or timing. So they're not as strong as they can be. So maybe they want to be stronger. Maybe they don't have big muscles. So they're asking me how to get big muscles. Maybe they're not as lean. Maybe they're kind of skinny fat, they're skinny, but they're soft. And they're wondering how do they get kind of leaner? Well, and maybe also digestion quality. A ton of people who chase after micronutrients have horrible digestion, really bad gas, really bad bloating. So what we have to go through is go through what they're eating every day. And I have to say, okay, well, it looks like you're high in calories here, low in calories there. You're high in protein here, low in protein there. And then we need to distribute this out a little bit differently. That usually means that we have to change some of the foods that they're eating around. And it might mean that we're running the risk of being under fed in one or more of the vitamins or minerals. So then we just get a supplement to cover that. And again, we get a supplement that would be have those certifications of the NSF, USP, UL, GMP, all those like 5,000 letters. That's typically what we have to go through. They then look and feel better. The blood work comes back A-okay. Everybody's healthy and happy. And it's kind of a nice mix of they're giving a lot of attention to micronutrients, and maybe they're only using, you know, a supplement here or there, so they don't feel like they're fully dependent on it. But it's typically what we tend to see, is that if you're trying to control calories, protein, timing, you're eating a variety of food, but you also have a crazy life schedule, and but you also want to be strong, bigger muscles, and be leaner. There's 40,000 things to balance, so supplements do help. So making small choices, you know, when you can, like steak over chicken, that's a great idea. It does have more like mineral content. So there's components about kind of every food that's pros and cons compared to other foods. But you can make small choices when you get the chance to do so. So do it when you can, for sure, absolutely. But also taking a supplement doesn't hurt. Not all supplements are trash. There are ones that have the certifications, and they can be about as trusted as anything else we're going to trust in our life. So I would suggest, if you want to Google the food lists to see kind of what foods are needed to cover the different vitamins, what foods are needed to cover the different minerals, and you're going to see a lot of overlap. So, for example, you're going to see meat cover a lot of the things. You know, some of it might be fish, some of it might have to be red meat or poultry, you know, but you could say, okay, well, you know, one meal a day, I'm going to try to have beef, one meal a day, I'm going to have chicken, maybe I'm going to have fish three times a week, you know, so you'll kind of find like your own balance to it. The more you switch up the protein sources, the better. The more you switch up your vegetables, the better. The more you switch up, you know, other type of carbs or fats, the better. That's all good stuff. Please do that. It's a good thing. And then just also, you know, don't be too scared of multivitamins and mineral supplements as long as they have the certifications behind their name. Okay. I hope that I answered everything that the listener wanted. And I hope I answered it with an open mind. I've been kind of grumpy in the past about things like this. And the reason why I sometimes get grumpy is people often run from what's most challenging to them. They latch on to something that's kind of sort of hard but more doable, so then they make that the focus. So people run from controlling calories because they don't want to track their food all the time, but they'll say, well, I'm eating five different vegetables, so I'm doing really good there. And I'm like, that's good. I'm happy for you that you're doing that, but that's not as significant as this thing here that you're running away from. So I get kind of like, I don't know what it is. I get mad at myself. If I know what I should do, I don't want to do it. So I try to find a couple other things that kind of sort of seem important, so I feel like I'm doing something productive rather than that one thing that I really should freaking do. So I get mad at myself for that. And I know that it holds me back from being my best self. So when I see other people doing that, I'm like, what are you doing? You could be your best self if you did that. And they're like, well, I'm doing this over here. And I'm like, don't do that over there. That's not even that important. Do this thing over here. So that's where it comes from, is I want you to be your best self. And I get mad at myself when I hold myself back. And I kind of get sad for you if I see you, as in whoever the listener is, if I see somebody not living their best life because they're trying to run from this one thing. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, let's freaking attack that thing. Let's go after it. So that's why sometimes I get kind of upset, is I just... you see the potential in people, and it feels kind of more clear when we look at other people than at ourselves as to what would be the best step for them. So you just get kind of fired up and excited, and you want them to do it. You want them to take it on. So I hope that I give that same excitement and energy to myself. I hope I can see myself somewhat clearly enough to see what I'm running from. But I wish us all the best luck to address what's most important for us, regardless of how hard it might look and feel and seem. Okay, enough of that. Cool. Well, thank you to the listener who sent this in. If anybody else ever has any questions, truly this 100% is meant to be just whatever you want to learn about, let me know and I'll teach it. You know, that's kind of the idea of the podcast. So we've had a lot of new listeners recently, a crazy wide variety, which is super freaking exciting. And it's just really fun to see where people are listening from. So, for example, in like the U.S., we've covered all 50 states. In Canada, there's a couple different kind of sections of Canada that always chime in, like Ontario, Quebec, Alberta, British Columbia. I have a map actually now Podbean gives me for like Australia. And there's Western Australia. There's South Australia. We have Queensland. We have New South Wales, Victoria. Almost nothing from the Northern Territory, but I'm from what I've heard, that's just alligators and a bunch of animals that will try to kill you. We even have a map of Sweden. I cannot pronounce, like Stockholm, I can pronounce that. But this other one, I don't even know what that is. V-A-S-T-M-A-N-L-A-N-D. So, Vastmanland? Manland? Good luck. And then Germany, like we have people from Germany that listen in. I can't pronounce that at all. B-A-D-E-N dash W-U-R-T-T-E-M-B-E-R-G. So it's really awesome to just see the different places all over the world that listen. I appreciate all of you. But don't be afraid to send in questions. I love questions. And if you're newer to us, which it seems like some of the people are, definitely reach out. You know, I enjoy knowing that the podcast has benefits to people. So it's never going to be a hindrance or, you know, you're never going to be annoying to me to send stuff in. It's actually really motivating. So thank you. Okay. Well, if you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please consider sharing the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can help. And that's the whole point of the podcast. So thank you for doing so. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day. So the support, the financial support just helps make it lose less money. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I want to keep doing this every day, and I want to keep it for free, so I'm going to fight really hard to do that. But I do appreciate the donations. You can give donations at our website, www.brutalirongym.com. There's options for one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation. However you do it, I appreciate that you do it. We all do, so that we can keep this thing going. If you like the information we share in a podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let me know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.